brought my little device up here so I can do this. All right. Oh, I got you on the move. Are you going to take all the little ones or are you going to leave some of them here? Grandma says, I'm taking them. Don't worry about it. I got them. Oh, yeah, yeah. Praise God. If y'all want to stay and listen to the message, you can. If you want to go with your grandma, you can. Oliver, be your own man. You don't have to do what your sister says. You can be a man up. You know? I got grandma's so messed up, she's running into furniture. Praise God. This week as I was going over scripture and stuff, and man, I was struggling so much, I was trying to preach to the season. A lot of pastors do that. Oh, it's Thanksgiving, I got to have a Thanksgiving sermon. Well, anytime we go to sermon, let's be thankful for it, amen? And so as I was going, I tried hard all week long to make something happen. Has anybody ever tried to make it happen? And it just don't? Amen. I felt like I was beating my head against the wall all week long. And I was whining and crying to my wife. I don't have nothing to say for Sunday. And she said, shut up and pray. You know, don't be whining to me, son. You're the pastor. Say something. And I said, well, I'm trying to do something on Thanksgiving. She says, why? I said, because it's Thanksgiving week. She said, so? Is that what God wants you to talk about? And I said, I guess not. I've preached 2 weeks about Thanksgiving. If you're not thankful by now, you're not going to be with one more sermon. And so we're going to do something different. Amen? I like it. And I like it so much. I think the Lord gave me something to say. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be up here talking my own ideas because they just ain't right. Amen? Anybody got a mind that ain't right? Amen? I got one. And so the Lord laid on my heart to start looking into the well. Amen. We're going to be talking about the woman and the well. And not just, I've seen this sermon broken down so many different ways. We ain't going to break it down. We're going to talk about the whole thing. Amen. So everybody open your Bibles. Do you got a Bible? Do you need a Bible? I like it when the pastor starts out, open your Bibles. Amen. While y'all are opening your Bibles and finding the book of John in chapter 4, we're going to work on the first 42 verses, and I'm just going to read through them. Amen. Then we'll back up and talk about it. Dear Father, I thank you so much for the written Word of God. I pray even now, Lord Jesus, as we're about ready to open your Word, I pray that you would speak to the body of believers that's here. Lord, anybody within the sound of my voice, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would move on them. They would hear you, they would desire you, and they would want to walk with you. And I pray that you would do those things, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for those things, in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. All right, so chapter 4. John, like I said, I'm going to read 42 verses. So I like it when we just sometimes read the Bible together. Amen. And so verse 1 of chapter 4 says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, verse 2, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. There's a whole sermon right there, but we're not going to get into that. And so in verse 3, then he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, he set on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And for us that don't know what the sixth hour is, about lunch. It's 12 o'clock or so. At the sixth hour, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat, or lunch, food. Verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and whom it is that saith unto thee, or saith to thee, give me a drink, you wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with,
the well's deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank of thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life, or everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go tell thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband, and that thou hast said truly. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship what ye know not. We know that we worship, Ye worship, ye know not what. We know that we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak to thee and he am he. And upon this his disciples, and this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, Why seekest thou, or why talkest thou to her? And the woman then left her water pot, and she went on her way to the city, and said to the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and they came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, or asked him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore saith the disciples to one another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say ye not that there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look unto the fields, for they are white and all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receives wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is a true saying, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon thou ye, I sent you to reap whereon ye bestoweth no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. And many Samaritans of the city which believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all things I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. Blessed be the word of the Lord. Father, I thank you so much for this account that you gave us. And as we're about ready to roll back and look at this account deeply, Father, I pray that you would keep my mind focused on your word, Lord God, that I would be seeking your righteousness. Father, that we could unfold this as a full understanding of what you were doing and not break it down into pieces and parts. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for those things in Jesus' mighty and marvelous name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so, how many have read that story, that account? Okay, it's not a story. Pinocchio's is a story. This is an account that Jesus actually did. He talked about where he was at one time, that he was going on purpose to another town, and when he went there, he knew that there was something that he had to do. So he stopped at this place called Jacob's Well. Amen. So we know that this isn't a once upon a time somewhere off in the wild blue yonder. This was an actual event that happened on an actual time, on an actual day, actually 3 days, that he was there in amongst a group of people and he was doing a work there. All right, so in the very beginning, he says that I must need to go through Samaria to get to Galilee. And on the way there, he was going through Samaria and he went through that town called Sychar. And at that place, he sat down. Did I say the word wrong? That's close enough, anyhow. Anyhow, he stopped at that place, and that's he sat down on a well there where people would go and get drink. Now, when he was there, he found, or a woman came up doing her regular job. Let me ask you this before we get into it. How many have a regular job? All right, you got something you got to go to every day. You got to do that, right? Do you know that Jesus wants to meet you by your regular job? Do you know that? That in your regular day-to-day work, where you're at, Jesus wants to sit down at the well right beside you that you can have a conversation with him. How many folks know that Jesus wants to talk to the unsaved there at your spot where you go to work? Do you know that? Where you work, where you live, where your well is, where that spot where you go to get the water for this life, you know that spot, Jesus wants to meet you and tell you something so special that you could bring what he tells you back into the rest of your influence surrounding, the people that you know, and you can share that what he gave you to them. Do you know that that's what you're saved for? Do you know that's why God said, I've got to go to this other town, but on my way to that other town, I'm going to stop in your town. All right? I'm going to say that your town, because he had to stop in Caledonia, had to stop in Rochester, he had to stop where I was when I got saved, he had to stop over there by Steve's house when Steve got saved, had to stop over there for, I want to call you Sarah because that's my daughter's name, my granddaughter's name. Steph, he had... I had the first letter. I couldn't get the rest of the name out for a little bit. But when he met you, he came to where you were. And it was in your regular everyday life, right? You didn't have to get better to get him. You weren't really and truly seeking him with the fullness of your life. You were going about everyday life, right? And God met you right there where you were. And he spoke to you. He said something. He called you by name. He said something to you. He recognized you. This individual, this woman that came there to the water, to the well, she needed to be recognized by Jesus. Who started the conversation? Jesus did. He spoke to her first, right? Give me a drink. Now, did Jesus really need to get her for him to get a drink? In fact, you read the rest of this, she never gave him that drink. Right, did she? You find in there in the scripture where she lowered her bucket into that pail, into that well, and come out and gave him a drink. Not one time does it say she gave him a drink. Now, what did Jesus ask for? Give me a drink. Right? And then, what was her response? She tried to change the subject. Who are you talking to me? Why do you even want to talk to me? You're a Hebrew. I'm a different race than you. I believe differently than you. In fact, I worship in a different spot than what you worship at. Why are you even talking to me? Jesus said, listen, if you would just know me, if you would understand the living Word of God is right here beside you, you would ask me for something and I would give you something that would just blow your mind. I want to give you something more than just a sip of water that you've got to come and get another sip tomorrow. I want to give you something so deep, so rich, so wonderfully abundant in your life that it keeps coming up. And it keeps refreshing. And it keeps
Something about a well of water, a spring of water. How often is that made fresh? Every minute of every day. When you, I brought my son and my grandchild over here to Tenant Park, right? And you got the creek running out one side. On the other side, you got the water bubbling up out of the ground. You can see it. It's crystal clear in there. And you can see the sand. When the sand's moving, the water's pumping up. And that water coming from there, guess how pure it is? As pure as Caledonia can make water, you know. I don't know. I've never tested it. But I know that it's a pure spring that comes up. And that spring, it doesn't matter how dry things get, I've always seen that spring coming up. I mean, I've not seen it not producing water at one time or another. And I haven't lived here all my life. Alan, you've been here since dirt, right?
Yeah.
Has that spring ever dried up?
I don't know. You're the one that showed me that spring.
Oh, okay. Anyhow, but yeah, so you see, it's been here for a long time. It's been here for a long time, and it keeps springing up. How about the gospel of Jesus Christ? When it got in you, how's it bubbling up on the inside? Is that better than that Texas tea? Amen? A Beverly Hillbillies thing. Up from the ground come a bubbling crude. All right? And so inside of you, there is something that God has for you. And he's talking to this woman that comes to him, and just she's just on her regular life, her regular thing. And Jesus starts the conversation like we said, give me a drink. He was meeting her on the physical where she could understand something, and then he was going to tell her something supernatural that is going to take her a while to wrap her mind around. And so in that whole conversation, yeah, she says, you ain't got nothing to draw with, Jesus. You can't reach the water. See, she's still thinking the physical. You can't. Well, you silly Jew, what you going to do? You ain't got a bucket? How are you going to get a drink? Jesus says, listen, I got something better than physical water for you. If you would have only know who I was, who I am, I will give you something you'll never thirst again. And of course, that woman's still on that physical thing, man. Boy, howdy, woo, boy, I love to have something that I wouldn't have to come here and haul water again tomorrow. In America, we really don't have to haul water, right? I mean, I go to the faucet, I need a drink, turn on the faucet, come right out. Back in those days, you had to leave your home and maybe walk for a mile or two, or at least around the corner, and get a pail of water. And normally it was two, because anybody ever here had to carry one pail of water? Kind of makes you limp on one side, right? You carry two, you're much better. And if you put a yoke on your neck, you can carry water with your whole body. So she came prepared to carry back water to her house. It was a regular day thing. It was something that she had to do every single day. And Jesus said, listen, I want to give you something that's going to stop you from having to come and draw water. Well, spiritually that was true, but physically I'm sure that she still had to come back tomorrow and get physical water to take a bath, wash your dishes wet. But he said, this is what I'm going to give you. It's supernatural, and it's going to start burling up from the inside of you, from your deepest part. I'm going to meet you in the middle of your deepest want. I'm going to meet you in your need. And I'm going to fill that need with something that never is quenched. I'm going to fill your need with something that never stops flowing. I'm going to fill your need with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to fill your need with the truth of my word. I'm going to fill your need with the love that only comes from the Father. And when it gets in you, it's going to start bubbling up inside of you. She still didn't understand it. It was hard for her to wrap her mind around that, because she says in verse 16, and the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither I come hither to draw. And Jesus, see how Jesus, he didn't really change the subject, but he got to the point. He says, listen, lady, I love you. I want to give you this water, but what I want you to know is I want you to know that I know that you're a sinner. I want you to know that I know that you have something to deal with. Go and bring me your husband. Woman said, I ain't got no stinking man around me. I ain't got no husband. I don't need no husband. I'm a broad-burning woman of the world. I don't need no man to lead me, to guide me. And Jesus said, all right. I know you ain't got no husband. You said that rightfully. But here's the truth. You had five, and you're living with a man now. Jesus got right to the point.
although he wanted to give her that full river of living water inside her, he never backed away from the physical sin that she was in. Right? He didn't back away from the truth of God's word. He said, listen, woman, I love you. I want to give you this thing, but I want you to deal with something right now. I want you to deal. You're living in sin, and I want you to know I know it, and I want you to know that I love you, and I'm still willing to give you what you need. All right? I didn't see anywhere in here where he says, leave that man and do something else. He didn't say anything. He said, I am the truth. I'm this living water. I'm about ready to give it to you. I want to love you while you're a sinner. I want to meet you in the middle of your sin. And I want to bless you in such a way that it's going to change your life. That the truth of word is going to bubble up from your inside. And once it starts bubbling up on your inside, you're going to be able to refresh everybody on the outside. Isn't that good news? That is good news. This woman, she is in great need. She's hurting. And I've heard all of the sermons about this when they break it down, that she was a woman of ill repute. Jesus knew that, right? He knew that her situation. They say that no girls even liked her. And that Jesus knew that, and he loved her anyhow. As she continues this conversation with Jesus, he says, bring me your husband. You've had five of them. The woman said to her, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now she's starting to see a little bit of the spiritual side of Jesus. I see that you're a prophet. I understand that there's something supernatural about you because you're knowing things about me that nobody else, I haven't told you yet. Do you know that God knows your sin? You ain't got to tell it to him. He already knows. He already knows where you're not doing what you ought to do. And you know what? While you were yet sinners, Christ died for your old raggedy self. You know, he died for this old raggedy self. He didn't ask me to get better. He asked me to come to him, to confess it before him, and to walk away from that and into him. And he blessed me immensely. Is that how it happened for you? Did God see you as a sinner when he saw you? Amen. You know, none of us were good enough to come to the Lord. None of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one of you. I don't care how much you pat yourself on the back. You ain't good enough. Oh, but God, as we went over Wednesday night, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Amen. Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver this wretched man from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Who's going to set this sinner free? I thank the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son. Praise you, Jesus, that you saw me in the middle of my mess and you loved me and you brought me out. And you allow this supernatural thing to start working in me. And Jesus, then she changes the subject. When she sees that he's a prophet, she says, where do you go to church? Yeah, that's really what she's saying here. We've been told that we worship on this mountain over here, and you guys worship on that mountain over there. All right? You can't worship with me because we go to different churches. Y'all Jews think it's only good in Israel and Jerusalem, you know, to worship. And we here on this mountain in Samaria, this is where we worship. And Jesus says, listen, there's coming a time, and the time is now, that you're not going to worship the Lord here. He doesn't care what church you go to. He cares about what doctrine you listen to. Who's teaching the truth? Who's bringing you to that fountain of living water? He says, you need to worship. God is seeking those to worship him in spirit, through the Holy Spirit, and in a truth, and in knowledge, and in holiness. Right? The truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. All right. He said all three of those, but he said, I am truth. If you're going to worship God, you've got to worship Jesus Christ honestly, in truth, and in spirit. See, I can't worship God without the Holy Spirit. I cannot do it. I can sing the songs. Oh, don't get me wrong. I can turn on all radio stations. I can stomp my foot. I'd love to do it to some bluegrass gospel music, but they don't play that up here. God forgive them. All right. I got to go through my CDs and find it out there. But anyhow, you know, God said, listen, he's not really concerned about you worshiping in Jerusalem or if you're worshiping in Samaria. He says, I want you to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. Jesus said in verse 21, this is where he said it. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship on this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you know not. Oh, I tell you, a lot of folks that are religious worship what they don't know. You know, a lot of folks, they just don't know God, but they worship Him. Right? They worship Him, but they don't know Him. Jesus said, listen, I want to tell you the whole story. Like Paul Harvey, if he was Paul Harvey, he said, I want to tell you the rest of the story. Amen. Let me tell you how it all ends up. He says, listen, for salvation is of the Jews. Praise God for the Hebrew people. Praise God. I love the Hebrews. You know why? Because they gave us the whole Word of God. They kept the Scriptures. And thank the Lord that they did, because without their writing and rewriting and keeping the Word of God, we wouldn't have our Bible today. And I thank God that He did that so that we could have the Word. He says in verse 23, the hour cometh, the hour's coming up, and now is, that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. You know that God is looking for somebody really, I mean really, to worship Him? Not just in song. Amen. Oh, you can sing the prettiest songs and be lost. You know, I can think of a lot of pretty songs back from the 70s, because I think that's when they quit writing good music, and, you know, or pleasurable music, because I'm old. A lot of folks that may have been in the 80s, but I don't think so. Anyhow, he says God is searching for a particular type of people that would desire to worship Him, to truly worship Him, and seek the Father with the fullness of their heart. The hour is coming, and the hour is now, that the Father is seeking those to worship in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. And He says, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, the woman seems to be waking up right here. She says, well, I know for a fact, somebody has already told her, I know that the Messiah is going to come, the one who is called the Christ. I don't know how she knew that. I don't know who was teaching her that. But somewhere in her life, somebody had planted a seed of faith in her. Somebody said that there is one coming that's going to be a Hebrew, that's going to be the Son of the living God, God manifested in flesh. The Savior of the world is going to come at a certain time. I know that. Somebody told her that. And she had faith that He was going to come. First, she saw Him as a prophet. Now she's starting to open up her mind that He might indeed be the very Christ, the Savior of the world. She said, I know that He's coming. I believe that He's coming. I have faith that He is going to show up on a certain day at a certain time. I don't know when, but this might be at the well. This might be the day that I met Him. See, she still wasn't convinced fully of it, but it was coming. See how God starts working? You start, first you hear, He calls your name and you understand Him. And He tells you, I know your need and I have the fix for that. And then you say, you must be a prophet. You know things. You're a preacher of the Word. Something's changing in my life. Well, you could be the Christ. You could be the Messiah. Do you see the progression of the opening of the mind of this woman as she was going, as God was opening her spirit and saying, listen, I want to give you something. I want to give you something that is so different than the world's ever given you. More than your five husbands and the boyfriend you got. I want to give you something that is deep and meaningful and fulfilling in your life, where you can never have to thirst for that garbage anymore. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? And that God has something for you to meet you where you at, to love you there, and to fulfill you. What a Thanksgiving day that was for her as she stood at the well. And then He told her, He explained to her as she said that I know that the Christ is coming, and when He comes, He will tell me or us all things. And Jesus said to her, I that speak to you, I'm Him. I am He. I'm He. Can you imagine what happened in that woman's mind. Boosh. Right? And boom, it explodes. I'm standing face to face with the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he's talking to me. In fact, he even started the conversation. Oh, man, how cool was that? Right? And in her mind, I could almost feel her excitement as she's coming to understand that she's in the presence of the Most High God, wrapped in flesh. Now, as all of this is unfolding to her, she's coming to this understanding. And then the 12 boys show up. I'm glad the way that John wrote this. Jesus is doing this marvelous work in this woman's life, and then the boys show up. The disciples, they just pop in on the scene. I'd forgotten that they even went for lunch, right? They'd gone to Subway, and they're on their way back. Hey, I got a foot-long sandwich for you, Jesus. And he says, listen, I don't even need that. They didn't ask him. Now, they wondered, why is Jesus talking to this Samaritan woman? How many times have you been telling somebody about Jesus and your friends say, why in the world are you talking to that person? Don't you know that's a drunk, alcoholic, prostitute or whatever? Don't you know that they're so unworthy? Don't you know that you're a Christian, you ought not talk to that person? Right? And your friends and your family, the closest of your relatives might think that. They didn't say it, but they thought it. It says, upon this came to his disciples, and they marveled. They were blown away that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said to him, talk to the woman, said, woman, what are you seeking? Or talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, what are you doing talking to her? That didn't want to happen. They kept it to themselves, all kind of balled up on their inside. But the woman, she was so happy in verse 28 that she left her water pot and she went back to the city. See, she forgot her physical me. When I got saved, all of a sudden I forgot the reason that I came. When I met Jesus at my lowest point when my well was empty. Oh, when I got there, I had to leave that old water pot behind. I was coming to get it filled over at the tavern, right? I was coming to get it filled. I was coming to get whatever the world was going to offer me, that temporary refreshment of the day. And you say whatever it is, you can put that refreshment in whatever mindset you want to put it in. I wanted to fill it with what I thought was going to make me feel better today. It's going to quench my thirst for the moment. Oh, but when I met Jesus on the way, I had to leave that water pot right there. Never says that she came back and got the water pot, which is pretty cool. She left it there. I don't need that old stuff anymore. I'm sure in real life she probably had to come back to the well and get water because she had to wash clothes tomorrow, right? She still needed something to physically drink. But something changed in her life, and it changed in such a way that she went back to the city. She went her way into the city, and she said to the men, she said to the folks that she talked to a lot, her sphere of influence, all right? You can throw stones at her and say, well, she ought to have been talking to the girls, not the boys. Jesus don't care who you talk to. Talk to somebody about him, right? Now, he's not concerned whether you talk to the men or the girls or the boys or the children or whatever, the drug addict down the street. You know that he loves them too. She had a sphere of influence. Who here has a sphere of influence? Folks that you talk to, it's the people that you meet when you're walking down the street. It's the people that you meet each day. Those guys, you know, the people that you know every day. You know what they need to hear about? Jesus Christ. They need to hear about his love. They need to hear about this water building up, this fountain of God's love and grace. And she comes and she says, verse 29, come and see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? And what? Now think about this woman the night before she met Jesus.
She was probably dancing, shaking that groove thing, right? And she had her tambourine and all those things. She was making all kinds of music. She was dating all the boys, probably dancing around the bar and stuff like that. And she went to those same cats. Went to those same people. And she said, listen, I got something. Let me tell you about a man that told me all. I have met the Christ. Could this really be the Messiah that was... And I got to tell you about him. Come and see him. She invited him to church. Amen? She invited him to church. She said, hey, all you dudes, come on down to church. I got to show you the living Word of God. Come on. There's something changed in me. There must have been so much excitement in that woman's life that it made those men take notice. They took notice of her because something was different in her life. She had met the risen Savior. She had met Jesus the Christ. She had met the Messiah. And it changed her life in such a way that it influenced other people's lives. It comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Right? So she met them there. She went and talked to them, the folks who she knew she could meet. And they all went out of the city and they came to Jesus in verse 31. In the meanwhile, I can imagine this, the woman running down. She said, you got to come with me. You got to come with me. Come with me. I got to show you something. Jesus the Christ. And as she was going, and she got all these people started following her out of the city. I don't know how far the city was from the well. I have no idea. I don't know geographically where it was. But I could just imagine this woman walking out, coming out of the city. Oh, she's so excited. And there's a herd of men behind her. You know, it's kind of like the bucks this time of year. There's one doe runs across the field and four bucks are chasing. Boom, boom, boom. Right? And so anyhow, something has changed in her life. And these men are following her. Something different had changed about her that drew other people. And as she was coming, the disciples still not knowing what's going on, but Jesus starts preparing the church, the disciples, right? He starts preparing the disciples. They said, hey, Jesus, Master, eat something. Jesus says, listen, I don't need your submarine sandwich. I don't need your hoagie. I don't need your bowl of lentils. I don't need what you went and got me because I've been eating something you don't know nothing about. You know, Jesus got food. He's got manna that you don't know anything about yet, church. He's already feasting on something that you can't comprehend. He already sees the church high and lifted up and seated in the holy places of God. Praise God for that. He sees you as a completed work. He sees you not as the sinner you used to be, but the saint of the living God that He has made you to be. He's conforming you into His image and He's changing you. Isn't that good news? That's good news to me, because I know that this old dirt dauber right here, man, I ain't worth it. You know, but He's doing a work. He's doing a work. Jesus is always at work. And He says, listen, folks, verse 32, but He said to them, I have meat, I have sustenance to eat that you don't know anything about. Therefore, His disciples said to one another, duh, who came and gave you a sandwich? Why didn't I get some of your sandwich? And so, brought him something to eat. Verse 34, Jesus clears it up in their mind. He said unto them, My sustenance, my meat, is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Where are you really going to get filled up at? I tell you, when I drive from here, I'm going to go past a couple bars, or at least one bar, and I'll guarantee you there'll be a parking lot full of people out there. But they're going to leave hungry and thirsty. I plan on leaving full. Amen. I want you guys to leave full. I want you to have something in you. I want you to have some of that meat that comes from the Father, the fulfillment that of doing His will that just blows everything this world has to offer away from your mind, away from your desires, right? And He says, Jesus said, I got my meat, my sustenance is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. He said, are you saying that? Are there not 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look into the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. How many of us will leave the church today, go into Thursday morning, okay? We're going to go into Thursday morning, and you don't think that you're in a harvest field. You're going to go there and you say, I'm just going to eat me some turkey. I'm going to get fat. I'm going to watch some guys chase around an oblong ball, right? Football. Well, I don't even, who plays on Thanksgiving Day?
Cowboys
and the Indians?
The Lions play.
Yeah. They Lions play? Anyhow, I have no idea. There's going to be two folks, and they're going to be pushing around this oblong pigskin thing, and they're going to be trying to get it on their side or my side, and they're going to be fighting one another trying to do that, right? And everybody else is going to be sitting around this banquet table getting full of something that's going to digest and turn into something tomorrow you don't want to see, right? That's what's going to happen, right? Just plain and simple. Jesus is saying, listen, you say that there's 4 months and then comes the harvest. You're going to go into a place full of sinners, your family, that don't know the Lord. Do you know that you might be saying, I'll come back next month and I'll tell them about Jesus. I'll come back 2 years from now, I'll tell them about Jesus. Don't you know that the harvest is right now? It's right now. You know, don't wait for 4 months, because in 4 months, how many of them are going to still be sucking air? How many of them are really going to be alive? I can't tell you. They might all be alive. They might all be dead. Can't tell you. So don't wait for 4 months to start working in the harvest field. Start the day you get there. Right? You go right in. You might think, well, there's just 4 months. I got time. I got 4 months before I go and do the harvest work. You fool. You don't know that. You don't know that. You say that there's 4 months. But Jesus says, listen, I'm telling you that the fields are white and they're ready for harvest today. Right now. They're ready for harvest right now. Get to work. Get to work. Go into the field. Do the thing that the Father has called you to do. Have that same heart that Jesus said, to do His work, to complete the work that the Father has sent you for. Do you know that you were saved by the grace of God to do something? And it ain't come sit here on these padded seats and listen to me for 1 hour a week talk about something. Amen? Amen. This is not it. Praise God, I'm glad you come. Don't get me wrong, because if you didn't come, I'd be saying this to nobody. Right? So you hear, and you're hearing this. But there is a sphere of influence that God has put you in charge of. You are a light going into a dark place on Thursday morning. You may be the only Christian at the dinner table on that Thursday morning. What you going to do about it? What you going to do about it? I can't say nothing about Jesus, because they're not going to like me. I got news for you. They probably don't like you now. Right? They probably don't. I mean, really and truly. Amen, George? Yeah, they don't like you now. You're standing for Jesus. They don't like you too much. That's okay. Jesus loves you. He says, listen, there's a reward. If you'll go in there, if you're ready for the harvest, you're ready to do the work. Verse 36. And he said, he that reapeth receives wages and gather fruit unto everlasting life. If you're going to go and start working in the field, let me tell you, there's a reward. And it's not your everlasting life, it's theirs. You're already saved. You can't get any closer to heaven until you die than what you are right now. So the fruit that leads of the everlasting life is that mama that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your brother that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your child that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your grandchild, your aunt, your uncle, all the friends of their family that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to die someday. Their time is going to be over. You have Thanksgiving. You got the day. Tell somebody about Jesus. Be like that woman walking into where she was dancing the night before, didn't know the Lord. She'd come to know the Lord. The next day she was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come and see a man that told me all things. Bring him to the Lord. And it says in verse 37, and herein is the saying true, one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap whereupon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you have entered into their labor. Now check this out. You witnessing to somebody is not going to save them. Somebody else has already planted the seed. Amen? Unless the Holy Spirit moves on a man, he can't be saved. You can talk till your lips fall off your face. It doesn't matter. But you got to talk. Right? You got to tell them. You got to live a life that represents Jesus Christ in your personal life. Right? You've got to do that. But unless the Holy Spirit moves upon that person, they can't be saved anyhow. So what do you got to do first? So you prepare for the harvest. How's your prayer life for those folks, them heathens that you're going in amongst this Thursday? All right? Who here's going to be surrounded by heathens? Folks that don't know the Lord. Now, I'm not throwing no stones at nobody. This is a bone true fact. I'm going to be around 49 people. I don't know who's saved in that crowd. But one thing I do know, when I leave that crowd on Thursday afternoon, they're going to hear something about Jesus Christ. All right? Somebody's going to hear about Jesus. Everybody might throw the boiling oil on me because I'm going to make them steaming mad. I'm frying turkeys if you don't need to know. And so anyhow, that's what I'm... And if they don't like it, I don't care. I love them enough to be persecuted by them. But I got news for you. The Holy Spirit, if anybody gets saved, the Holy Spirit's already been there at work in their life. He's already set the groundwork. And so what he's looking for is somebody with a sling blade. I love mustard and biscuits. Remember that movie, Sling Blade? So he's looking for somebody who's willing to go into the field and swing the blade. Who's willing to go into the field and enter into the labor of the harvest. If you're willing, he'll use you. And in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman. So a lot of folks already had an understanding, and the Spirit was already in work in their life. And when she said, the Messiah's on the hill over by the well, or in the valley, I don't know why you'd build a well on a hill, Jack and Jill, right? They went up the hill. How stupid is that? Anyhow, they went to the well, wherever it was. They went to the well, right? And they had already believed because the woman said, I know the Messiah is there. All right, and so verse 30, and so some of the Samaritans, they came and they besought him that he would tarry there, and he stayed there for 2 more days. You know, if you ask Jesus to start working on people's lives, he'll stay there with them. Might be 2 days, might be a week, might be a month. I mean, you might have to pray for years before something happens, but God will stay with them as long as you ask. And for 2 more days, he said, and then in verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe. All right, the rest of the folks that didn't believe, they said, now we believe, not because of what you said, female, all right, not because of what you said, woman. I don't believe because of your word. I believe because I've seen him for myself. You know that God wants to show everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. How many? Everybody. Even that aunt with the one big long hair comes out of her chin. You're going to see her Thanksgiving, right? You got to love her anyhow, you know. So tell her about Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. And so he stayed there for 2 days. And then he went on to Galilee. I really believe this Thanksgiving a lot of things can happen. I really do. He's called you to go to work into his field. You know, there may have been somebody already in the midst of that person at the Thanksgiving feast that you're surrounded with that God's already been working on. He's already touched their heart. He's already started showing them, opening the Bible and showing them the love and the compassion. Maybe they've seen a miracle this week, right? Amen, George? They may have seen their baby fall 19 stairs and not get a scratch and a little thing on her forehead. They may have seen that, and they need a reason why that happened. I tell you, it ain't because Pampers are soft. That baby fell down them steps, all right? God protected that child. You've got a right to tell them that. Gotcha. All right, you're going to be around the table with somebody, and they're going to tell you some stuff. You've got that opportunity. Jesus did this for me. Jesus did this for you. And that's going to open up that door opportunity. It's going to do one of two things. It's going to make them so mad that they're going to beat you with a carving knife. Or they're going to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Right? And that's what it's going to do. God's word never returns void. It accomplishes what he wills it to accomplish. So people, go forth. Go to Thanksgiving. Right? Eat turkey till you puke. Right? Just eat till you can't stand it no more. But while you're there and you're eating and you're doing that well that's going to run out of water, you remember to give them the fountain of life that never runs dry. Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him. Father, we thank You much for Your Word. We thank You much for the many blessings and grace that You've laid out on us. Father, we ask even now that You would move mighty over us, that You would anoint our mouths, that we could proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. Father, You would move in our hearts, that we would believe You, the one true living God, and that You would change us in such a manner that the rest of the people that we know would see the difference and desire what we're telling them about You, about Jesus, the risen Christ, the Son of the living God, the manifestation of love on this earth. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We ask those things in Jesus' high and holy name. Amen. 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 Praise God.